again. I'm Emma Goswell, and I'm your host for Coming Out Stories. We're a podcast from What Goes On Media, and we bring you real-life stories from fabulous individuals who just happen to be part of the LGBTQ plus community. And in order for us to continue bringing you brilliant episodes every fortnight, we are currently looking for sponsors. So if you think you can help, please do head to our website, that's comingoutstoriespodcast.com, and click on the Work With Us tab. We'd love to hear from you. That's comingoutstoriespodcast.com. Oh, and also, if you think you've got a story that might help others, why not put yourself forward to be interviewed? You can email us again via our website, or you can message us on X, where we are Come Out Stories, or on Instagram, where we are Coming Out Stories Pod. Right, time to crack on and head to Brighton to meet Kirsty Law. She's the author behind the rather brilliant and very illuminating A Short History of Queer Women. I started by asking her when she realised that she wasn't straight.
I would say it was quite late, but then when I say to other people, they don't think it is. But I was about 16 when I first thought, oh, like, what, something's a bit different here. Because up until then, I was so sure that I was straight, like adamant. It didn't even cross my mind that I would be queer. We didn't even use the word queer then, but like a lesbian or gay, or I just had no idea that I had boyfriends. My first boyfriend was gay.
When did you discover this? Later on in life, or?
I think I knew then, to be honest, but yeah. I think a lot of lesbians tend to.
And I've spoken to a lot of gay men that have gone out with women who have turned out to be lesbians.
Yeah, it's quite find each other.
We find each other, don't we?
It's safe. But yeah, I guess I was 16 and then suddenly it hit me like a bus. Like it was a car crash and it was just like it came from nowhere. Like, it really did. But then when I look back, all the signs were there, of course. It was very clear. But I guess the way that where I was brought up, I guess, or that kind of time.
Okay, because I think of you as being quite young compared to myself. Thanks. Anyway. So tell us what decade you would have been at school and right. where you were geographically.
Born in 86, so I'm 37 now. So we were just the last generation before social media, before internet, the internet was about, but no one had it in their house. And in school, it wasn't really a thing. So secondary school was 97 and finished 2002. And I'm from Manchester, and I know Manchester's very famous for being, like, the gay capital and very friendly, gay-friendly, which it is, but yeah. I don't know. I guess I was brought up on quite a rough council estate in Manchester. My mum was great. She was amazing. Like, I never felt uncomfortable with being gay. I always thought if I was, I'd be absolutely fine coming out to my mum, but I don't know. It's the people I hung out with. There was no one was gay. Gay was an insult.
Were people saying that thing, oh, that's gay?
Yeah. Like, that's at school, that's rubbish. And I used to get called, like, I remember being at school and someone said to me, oh, my mate thinks you're going to be a lesbian when you grow up. And I was absolutely mortified. Like, it was probably the worst thing anyone could have said to me. Because I was quite sporty and my mum was quite good. She raised me, like, gender neutral at a time when that really wasn't a thing. She just, she was very much like, be who you want to be. And I chose to be who I wanted to be. But then, so when I look back, all the signs were there, but I just didn't connect.
So you were wearing the lumberjack shirts well before your time?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's, like, primary school photos of me in lumberjack shirts. I know. It just hit me. There was a girl, and then I was like, oh, my God, I'm attracted to women. And then I looked back and thought, oh, my God, I've always been attracted to women.
Apart from the derogatory comments, was there any talk of...
No.
Being gay or bi at school?
No, not at all.
Nobody came out at school?
No. This was state school, like Comp in Manchester. So, I mean, Section 28 was obviously a thing then as well. Our teachers were pretty good. Now and again, maybe queer people would be mentioned, but I don't really remember it. There was a lot of unconscious homophobia, you know, the like, you're gay kind of thing. It wasn't very much like... Although I don't know, I think probably men, the boys in the school probably got it worse, than the girls did.
I was going to say, and it's all about gender stereotypes, isn't it? So I've spoken to a lot of gay men who didn't conform to the gender stereotype, so they were being told that they were effeminate and therefore they were gay. Whereas I think us lesbians can go under the radar a bit more sometimes, maybe.
You definitely can.
And were they getting bullied? Did you sense that they were definitely having a tough time?
Yeah, for sure. And I knew a few. This is what it was like then, though. It's just, it wouldn't come into your head that someone was gay. They'd be called gay because they might be a bit effeminate, but they wouldn't be gay because nobody's gay. It was odd. It was a really odd time, like, especially in Manchester. I always look back and think the only person that I remember being gay was Ellen. And look what happened to her.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, she's doing great now.
Right.
They cancelled her series, didn't they? Because she
You
came
didn't
out
want
as
that,
gay.
Did you? So that was...
Yeah. Mind you, 90s Manchester, that was when Queer as Folk was
on. I know, I remember my mum watching it and me trying to watch it behind the door, but she wouldn't let me watch it. I love that, though.
And I know so many people that moved to Manchester because they'd seen Queer as Folk and literally thought, you know, Canal Street.
I used to walk up and down. I'd walk up and down Canal Street as a teen, terrified, but felt like that's where I needed to be. So I'd just walk up and down there. Too young to go anywhere, but just felt like I needed to be there, but then I wouldn't look at anyone.
And what were you scared of?
I was always terrified of people finding out that I might be a lesbian. So let's go to Canal Street and walk up and down.
Might as well have got a badge.
I know. I just kind of felt like I needed to go. And then I still get a bit scared, actually, when I'm there. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it that it was a big deal to me that I'd go past on the bus. You know, like I had to just see it. I had to go and see it. But I could no way go and talk to anyone. Gosh. I know, very different to what I'm like now.
Yeah, couldn't be more out, really. So what happened when you were 16? You said it hit you like a bus. Was there a person?
Yeah.
Did you suddenly have a crush, have a revelation?
So I left school, started college. And I remember there was two girls at college. They were like together. And I was just like, what? They're together? And it was just mad. And then they had a friend, and like, I just suddenly became obsessed with this friend. Never spoke to her. Still never spoke. I have no idea who it is. Which is mad, isn't it? How people can just completely change your life and they just have no idea who you are. But yeah, I remember sitting next to her on the bus once, and it was just that. The electricity in my body, and it was just like, whoa. And I couldn't get off the bus because I'd have to get... My stop was before hers, but I couldn't stand up and go past her. So I just sat on the bus all the way to Trafford Centre. And then I got off.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
And then that was it. And then I never really looked back. And then I don't know if you remember Alex Parks from Fame Academy.
I do remember Alex Parks. I had Alex's Parks' first CD.
Me too. And
she was lesbian favourite. Yeah. She had a great voice, actually.
I know.
She was a good singer.
But she was a big, like, she's not really my type as well, but I was obsessed. I think it's because there was a queer person, a public queer person, you know, that won as well. Like, that was treated with respect and talented and did very well. So I think I just suddenly became very obsessed with her. And then I never looked back. Mm-hmm. Went to uni. I remember being at uni thinking, right, I'm going to have to come out or I'm going to stay in the closet for another 3 years. So I just bit the bullet and just came out first year, first week.
So you were what, 18 then? Or
19? Yeah, 18, yeah. 19, yeah.
Well, you only had about 2 years in the closet.
Oh God, it felt like an eternity.
But it can be quite destructive, can't it?
Oh,
even
massive.
If it's only
I struggled.
A year or so, it's
really struggled.
Hard.
And I'm like quite, I don't really think before I speak. I'm quite honest. And so to keep something inside like that for me was a massive deal. And I really struggled, really, really struggled. Like, there was a lot of dark depression and I really didn't want to be gay. I really didn't want to be.
Why?
It just didn't look fun. It didn't look like, I just thought my life was done. There was a lot of shame there. I didn't know any lesbians, especially the word lesbian as well. Like, it's a word that I'm really trying to reclaim. But the word then, it was disgusting. It was just a word that people, they prefer to say gay rather than lesbian.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
You know, still,
yeah, yeah.
There's that word lesbian. It's just abhorrent to so many people,
yeah.
Isn't it? I can't really unpick that. It's weird, isn't it? But it is.
I've done a bit of research into it. I think... Because we use it as a noun and we use gay as an adjective, it doesn't roll off the tongue. No pun intended.
No pun intended. So this time in the closet, were you literally only knowing to yourself? You never told anybody?
Not a soul.
You didn't kiss a girl? You didn't have any relationships?
No. God, I was terrified. No, I wouldn't dare. Mm. I think I told... There was a friend that I had. It was stayed within Ireland, and I think I told her I was bisexual. But then I was terrified that she thought I'd fancy her, so... There was just so much negativity towards it, just really like the shame and the negativity, and just I just really didn't want that for myself. But then, you know, it's inside you, isn't it? And it's just fighting to get out. So
after 2 years, you kind of know that's it. This is my lot. I've got to do something about this now. Yeah. And what was the thing that spurred you on? Was it just I need to come out, or did you have a relationship?
It was me being at uni and getting all these new friends and thinking, if I'm going to live my life truthfully at university, because university is it's a big moment in your life, isn't it? Like a turning point.
I was like a kiddie in a sweetie shop. Yeah. Like, my God, I can go to gay bars exactly. on my own, find women.
I was like, look, if I'm going to do this properly, I can't stay in the closet for 3 years. I remember kissing a boy. Ugh, I think that was the last boy I kissed. And then just being like, nah. And then I remember being in another club and this girl just like straddled me. And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
And then, yeah, came out the next day and then never looked back.
And who did you come out to?
I came out to my mate, Jack, and he was straight at the time. It was funny, like, all my mates, we all made friends, like, this big group of friends we've got, and I came out first, and then it was literally one by one, everyone just came out. So we're all gay. But yeah, then I came out, and it was just, like, it was great. I was just living my best life, and it's honestly, like, my favourite thing about me. I know people say, a lot of people have that argument where they say, like, being a lesbian, there's more to you than being a lesbian, but for me, it's, like, I genuinely think it's the best thing about me. It influences my writing, it influences my humour, it's just, I love it. I love women, I love sex with women, I love writing about women. It's, like, I am so different to how I was in those 2 years. I know.
Well, like myself, you've kind of built a career out of
exactly,
it, really.
Exactly, yeah. It's the best thing about me.
And why not?
I know.
So when you came out to Jack, how did Jack take it?
He was great. But then he told everyone. So that's what not a friend... A friend should not do that. But I didn't mind, to be honest. So he got away with it. But he did tell everyone. Not in a mean way. I think he was just excited. And also because he wanted to come out. So he did come out. But I didn't tell my mum.
And when was the mum coming out session then?
Well, I knew it'd be all right, but I didn't want to do it face to face. So I just was in a club one night and I just texted her going, I'm gay, by the way.
Was that the full sentence?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. And she went, okay. And then we never spoke about it again for 2 years because she was kind of waiting for me to speak about it, which I don't know. I think parents never know really how to deal with it, do they? They think, should I wait for them to talk or should I? But I think I would have rather her brought it up with me because I was a bit nervous. But no, she was absolutely fine. It was my dad that was the scary one.
Oh, so you specifically told her first and waited?
Yeah.
And how was he?
Well, so my dad's American. My mum and dad had never been together. I was a product of a one-night stand, which is lovely heterosexual nonsense. But he's like always been in my life. He's great. But he's a Trump supporter. So that isn't great, actually, is it? And a lot of my family are. Like, I know my dad is very liberal, strangely, but he's kind of one of those Americans that's like, the economy. So the economy becomes before human rights. He's like that person. I hope he doesn't listen to this. But yeah, so I was always a bit worried. So it just got to the point there where it got too long. So I didn't come out to him until I was 30, 31.
Oh, wow. So that's quite a gap then between
it was horrific. So I used to go over and visit him all the time, and I'd have to go back in the closet, and I was someone else, completely someone else. I went over with my ex-girlfriend once and we were friends.
So difficult. And then how did he react when
amazing he told him? And he's like, because I basically what happened was I was getting married. I'm separated now, but I was getting married, and I knew that if I got married and didn't tell him, it would really break his heart. So I bit the bullet and I wrote him a letter, and he rang me immediately and was like, what I found hilarious was that he was so shocked. He's just so oblivious. I was like, really?
Even though he'd met one of your ex-partners.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? Like, what? But yeah, so that he was really good, and I've got a little boy with my ex-wife, and he's like the best grandparent, and yeah, he's amazing. Oh. Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. I couldn't have asked for anything better from both my parents. So I'm very lucky in that respect. But some of the family in America, there's been a few comments that I don't really have time for, so... Yeah.
You don't speak to them anymore, or you
not really, no. Like, I remember saying that I was getting married, and then I remember saying I was having a kid, and one of my aunts was like... She was like, look, getting married's one thing, because, you know, you can choose to get married, but bringing a little baby into this world. And after that, I was like, okay, I don't want my son to have any of that around him, so... Yeah, I know.
How old is your son now?
He's 2.5.
Oh, and my baby's nearly two.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah. It's so exciting, isn't it? I never thought I'd get to be married or even a parent. So yeah.
Well, exactly. Privileged. That's what my next book is about, actually. I'm writing about being a parent. So as a queer person, you never do think that. It doesn't come into your head, does it? You just assume.
I wanted to, and it was a very long journey for me. I wasn't a mum until I was 50, so I kind of left it a bit late.
Never too late.
But yeah. Well, we should talk about the books then, shouldn't we, really?
Go for it.
Have we missed anyone out, though? Was there any other significant coming outs? Do you have any siblings?
No, or? I'm an only child. I don't know, I guess when you have that first, you know, when you have that first relationship, the person that I was with was in the closet for a long time, and they kept me in the closet with them. Yeah, I know. And I think that happens to a lot of people that come out. So it kind of, I had that shame again, you know, that you have when you are worried or you just don't want to. I just felt like she didn't want to be gay, and then I'd just come out and was all really happy, and then you kind of go back into it. But I think that's quite a common trope with lesbians especially. Yeah,
it's happened to me. I went out with someone for 2 years who I never met her mother.
Same.
And I had to drop her off like 2 or 3 streets away.
Same.
I mean, I can't believe I did it now.
No, it's I mad, can't. I remember I never met parents. I was just a friend. That's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really brutal, especially when you've been through it all yourself and you know how traumatic it is and, or can be. But every single person I've spoken to on this podcast, genuinely, even if they've had awful things happen to them, have said, I'm so glad I did it. You cannot stay in the closet forever.
No, you're not. You're just not. I know it's like cliche to say, but you're just not living your true self, are you? You're just not. It's so damaging. Definitely. And that's why, again, with the book that I just wrote about queer history, is that if you don't have that representation in school and the history of seeing yourself in the past, you just don't exist in the present. So it's so damaging.
Well, let's talk about the book then, as you brought it up again. This is what I love about this podcast, is I can literally just approach people. This is what I love about social media.
I can literally
approach people who I are reading their book and respect them and go, will you come on the podcast? And you said yes, because I was in a brilliant bookshop in Bristol last year. Ooh. And I picked up a copy of your book called A Short History of Queer Women. And it is a very short history. It's palm-sized, isn't it? And I honestly have learnt so much.
Good.
And also, as I wasn't expecting to, although the woman in the shop did tell me, it is very, very funny. So I have laughed a lot.
Thank you.
So tell me how the book came about then, and how you came to write it.
Yeah, so when I was coming out, or when I wasn't coming out, when I was in the closet for those 2 years, I'm a big history fan, like big history. I love history. And what I tend to do is when I get obsessed with something or when I want to learn about things, I try and find all the stuff, information about it. So when I was thinking, oh my God, I'm a lesbian, I had to go and find out every single piece of information about what being a lesbian meant. I couldn't find anything. There was nothing to find apart from Ellen.
You've done your research.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ellen got cancelled.
So that wasn't very easy.
So it was like, where is it? And it always stuck with me that, like, growing up and just loving history, and just there was no queer history ever. And if there was any queer history, it'd be really sad and depressing, because queer history is sad and depressing. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. There's no taking away that it isn't. So that was the main reason. And also queer theory. I'm very interested in queer theory and gender studies and lesbian studies. And it's really academic, and it can be quite off-putting to a lot of people who might want to read it. It's very inaccessible. So I wanted to write something that was easy to read, funny, and also had a lot of sex, because I like writing about sex.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to read you a little clip of a page that I read recently. I mean, this is the most serious, depressing subject that you could possibly tackle, and it's fascism and Adolf Hitler. This is your take on it. In 1933, Adolf Hitler was elected Chancellor of Germany and immediately acted like a dick. Before Hitler, 1920s Berlin was heaving with homos. What I like about that is just, you've got the facts there, but you make it funny. It's short sentences, it's funny, it's to the point, and yeah, it's just really readable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why was it so important to make it really funny as well as just readable?
Well, like queer history and queer theory, it's very academic, it's sad, it's everyone dies. And I mean, I can't say that they didn't die, because everyone did die. And it is sad. But also, these people there are parts of their lives that are nice. And they met people and they were happy. And they got married in terms of how they could view that marriage as well, obviously it was illegal, but they just built lives for themselves. And I always found that really interesting, you know, building a life for yourself in a world that's completely against you, but you somehow manage to survive. And there are fleeting moments in a person's life that are nice and should be shared, as well as the bad.
And what's amazing to me is, I mean, I didn't really learn much history at school, but like the amount of sort of straight washing, for want of a better term, that has happened to so many people. I had no idea until I read your book that Charlotte Bronte was a lesbian.
Yeah, well, look, right, yeah. So I can't, a lot of people get angry about this. I can't say she's a lesbian. Well, I can actually, because people say she's straight. Like, straight can't be the default. It's always like straight until proven otherwise, isn't it? Why can't it be lesbian until proven otherwise? Why can't it be trans until proven otherwise?
Yeah.
But she was... There's definitely queer elements. I mean, those letters with Ellen Nussey is just... Come on. And she nearly married Ellen's brother so she could live in the same house as Ellen Nussey. But she didn't marry the brother because he was boring. This straight washing, it's just... Some of it is just... It's like, what do they want, these historians? It's like they want them just having sex, like video evidence of two women having sex before they'll even like acknowledge that they could have been queer.
No, you're right. And there was, I can't remember, was it Charlotte Bronte or someone else who wrote hundreds and hundreds of love letters, and there's so many lesbian stereotypes within them. At one point, she's talking about how she bought a present for her dog.
Yeah. Eleanor Roosevelt. It's Eleanor Roosevelt, and, well, they were 100%, I mean, 99% sure they were doing it.
Yeah. But, like, it has just been totally straightwashed, hasn't it? It really has.
Yeah, which is because Eleanor Roosevelt as well is such a prominent figure in history, First Lady, you know. That's important for people to see that someone like that could be queer. It's so important.
Yeah.
So to just completely remove that element of her is so damaging and horrible.
Couldn't agree more. So that's a go-to must. You've got to read that. Find out all about your lesbian history. And have a giggle along the way. And then what's this new book then about parenting?
So again, in kind of the same way, queer parenting is something that's also very difficult to find knowledge on. And I remember when me and my ex were trying to figure it out, the only way we could understand about of what to do or just find any information was to ask our exes. And that's what a lot of lesbians do, don't they? And they ask their exes because we're all friends. So it's just nothing there, is there? And then the NHS, they told us we had to prove that we couldn't make a baby. And it's like we'll be proving forever. Like, we can't make a baby.
Well, we've done a lot of practice, but there's nothing happening.
It's just everything's very out of touch and archaic. And the whole system needs to be upgraded. And but also queer people have been raising kids in a queer, well, challenging heteronormativity forever. It's not a modern concept.
No,
but we did reciprocal IVF, and we couldn't find any information on it. It was so confusing, so difficult. So what I'm trying to do is highlight how queer parenting has been a thing forever, and also the different ways that you can do it, and just to also show that the system needs upgrading, because the ridiculous things that me and my ex had to listen to was funny, because that's how I usually deal with things, is humour. But it needs changing. The whole thing needs changing.
Well, I have to say, when I was becoming a parent, I couldn't find much to read on it. And I did end up reading Jen Lister's
book.
Yeah,
The Other Mother.
The Other Mother, which I really enjoyed reading, actually. And go, there you go, another lesbian Brighton mum.
Yeah. It's helpful to have these books, but we're still the other, you know? We're not the other, though, because queer people are having kids, like, a lot now.
Mm.
And divorcing. We're doing just what the straight people do.
Basically, but hopefully we're doing it a bit better.
Of course. But then, look, there's a lot of research as well into kids raised by queer parents, because the heterosexual argument, as always, is, there might be some damage there, and the research says there is absolutely nothing.
No. I don't think kids have that prejudice either, do they, really?
No.
They just care that they're getting looked after and getting unconditional love.
And I'm very lucky.
Getting three meals a day.
To be in Brighton as well, which is full of us. So I have that.
You could go to loads of lesbian mother meetings.
Yeah, I have that luxury, But then I don't. There's obviously places in the UK that might not be as apparent, so... I think it's something that needs to be written about.
When's it out? When can we expect it?
I'm still writing it. So 2025, probably...
Okay, watch this space then. You don't have a title yet then?
No, not yet, but it'll be a short and fleeting book, like A Short History of Queer Women, so it'll be in that kind of style.
Fabulous. Well, best of luck with it.
Thanks.
And I better end the podcast the way I normally do and ask for your top tips of coming out, maybe to anyone listening that hasn't done it yet, that hasn't quite coped with it or had the bravery to say the words and tell their friends and family, what advice would you give?
Oh, it's so horrid, isn't it? Oh, God, I just really remember that time. I'd say be prepared to keep coming out because you don't really stop coming out, which is pretty crap. So the more you do it, the easier it'll be. But the first time you do it, the relief, I just remember that relief of just feeling myself and true to myself. And like you said before, even if you have a horrific time and even if the worst thing could ever happen, you're still happy in yourself and you're still going to... You don't want to live your life not living your true self because... It's not a nice life. But then, you know, I have that privilege of being in the UK and all of that sort of stuff. So obviously keep safe. But just bite the bullet and do it. It's like a plaster. Just rip it off. It's so worth it. I couldn't express how much it is. I feel upset because I've wasted, you know, and I came out at 19 and I just feel I wasted all those teenage years because queer people tend to age... Like, we have this weird, like, Benjamin Button thing, don't we? Because we usually come out a bit later. So we in our 20s, we're like rampant teenagers. So the earlier, the better.
Love it. A huge thank you to Kirsty for chatting to me. And seriously, it's not LGBT History Month anymore, but that doesn't mean that you can't read up on your lesbian history. Honestly, I learned so much from her book. It's called A Short History of Queer Women, and it is available now. Don't forget to support your independent bookstore, of course, particularly people like Queer Lit or Gays the Word here in the UK, and you can buy online from both of them. And of course, I should mention, while I'm talking about books, that while you're there, you can still pick up a copy of our book. It's simply called Coming Out Stories. Next episode, we're off to NYC to meet Michael, who says that coming out helped him in so many unexpected ways.
I felt lighter. I also think it made all the relationships in my life a lot stronger, because even if part of our conversations weren't about my identity, the fact that I was showing up to these relationships without hiding something, being able to bring my true self, my full self to the relationship, whether it's family or friends or coworkers, all my relationships got stronger and stronger and stronger.